Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies, Seven Invitations from the Lord, using the word come. These are invitations that are bona fide, and they're invitations that are issued by the Lord, and it's wonderful to receive invitations. We have already considered come for salvation, come for satisfaction. Today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the title, Come for Rest, from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You may wish to turn to that scripture. And then in future studies, we will study Come for Service, Come for Discipleship, Come for Fellowship, Come for Eternal Blessing. These are all invitations from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And those invitations are really commands, because the invitation of the king is a command. But they're so gracious. God wants us to enjoy himself. He has brought himself to the place where he is available through the sacrifice of Christ, through the fact that Christ went to that cross at the Father's direction. The Father sent him to be the sacrifice for our sins. And our sins were placed upon Christ, your sins as well as mine, and I say that without hesitation to everyone listening to this broadcast. Your sins were placed on Christ when he hung on that cross, and he died for them. And now God says, I am satisfied with the work of Christ. He raised him from the dead. Well, now when he raised him from the dead, he said, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. He's sitting in heaven. That's where he is at this moment, sitting in the completion of the work of salvation. We rest after we sit when we've done our duty, when we've done our task, then we can sit and rest. And he's resting in the finished work of Christ, and so am I. I am absolutely convinced that God was satisfied with the work of Christ. If all my sins were placed on Christ, as we read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if all my sins were laid on Christ, and he died for them all except perhaps one, could he go to heaven and take that sin into heaven? Of course not. The fact that he was raised from the dead after he died on the cross for our sins is proof positive. Our sins are gone. They were carried into death by the one who loved us and who died for us. What a wonderful story, and what a wonderful rest that we can have. And we're going to be speaking of that rest particularly a little later in the broadcast. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, we have a bold statement that is made by the Lord that nobody else could make except the Lord. Here's the statement. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think we will appreciate this verse if we will relate it to the text. In verse 20 we read, the Lord Jesus, there, we read of him, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. Capernaum was the Lord's adopted city. That's where he dwelt. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The responsibility of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum was that they had seen the mighty works of God, and they did not repent, they did not respond. This is so is such a rebuke by the Lord to these people. Where those wicked people were Tyre and Sidon, those cities that were just absolutely oblivious to any relationship with God, the pictures of the world, indeed, and Sodom, that city which was noted for its wickedness, for its homosexuality, that terrible, terrible city, God says they would have repented, but you are not repenting. And then he goes on and speaks of his relationship to his father. Now, this is still in their hearing, I believe. If you'll examine the text here, I think you'll agree with me that he went right on from this point after he had rebuked them and says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He shows his relationship with his heavenly Father. Now, on one occasion, the Jews took up stones and were going to stone him because he related himself to the heavenly Father in this way, and making himself equal with God. And they said, we don't believe that any man can become God. Well, they were right. But this was God who had become man. And that's a different story altogether. If God wants to become man, who's going to tell him he can't do it? He became a man. For what reason? That he might die for our sins. As God, he couldn't die. But as man, he could die for your sins and for my sins. And he did. He took upon himself human flesh so that he could be a sacrifice for you and for me. And that's why he came into this world. Oh, how wonderful the story. And so he relates himself to the Father. Now, I don't know what it did to his listeners. It might have done the same as it was in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, where they rejected him because he related himself to the Father as he did. Well, let's go on. Then he makes this bold statement in their presence. And I don't know how they reacted to this, but I know how they should have reacted. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who could say that but Christ alone? Could I say that? Could Ken Baird say that? Make a boast over the radio, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? I can't even solve all my own problems, much less yours. I have to go to the Lord to have my problems solved, and he helps me. And so he alone could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, there are two kinds of rests here in these verses 28, 29, and 30. There is the rest of salvation, the rest that Christ gives. And then there is a rest in verse 29 that we find. Listen as I read it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. This is the yoke of service. This is the rest that we find through taking Christ's yoke of service, through following in Christ's submission. Two kinds of rest. This 28th verse means more to me than perhaps any other verse in the Bible, for the simple reason that the Lord used this verse in bringing me to himself. Here's how I saw myself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was laboring, and I was heavy laden. I was laboring to be justified. I was a church member. I had joined a church, my mother's church, and what could a young man do better than to join his mother's church? I was laboring to be justified. I was laboring for peace, and it didn't come, because my labors don't count. It's the labors of Christ. It's the work of Christ on the cross that counts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I was laboring in Christian work. I was on the religious treadmill, trying to accomplish my own salvation, trying to earn it. It's received as a gift. God gives it as a gift, or we would never get it. And then, heavy laden with the burden of my own sins, I did not have peace. And I found out that Christ had died for my sins, and I had that discovery, I made that discovery rather, that I did not have to account for my sins to a holy God. Christ had answered for me, and he answered with his own blood. He died for me, and he died for you. I have no claim on this verse above anybody else in the world, but I appropriated it. It was mine, and I received the peace that passes understanding. I remember that night, though it was many, many years ago. I remember that night when I transferred my burden. I said, why should I assume the responsibility for taking care of my own sins and go to hell, when Christ has died on the cross to take away those sins? And when I saw it, no doubt by the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, when I saw it, I transferred my burden. I says, how stupid can you be? Why should I bear my own sins when Christ has already borne them into death and died for me and satisfied God in that respect? I found rest. The Lord promises it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But then there's a rest in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is a different kind of rest. It's the rest that I get by committing myself into the hands of my Heavenly Father, just exactly like Christ did when he was here on earth, and as he always does. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. There is a rest found in commitment, committing to God as he did. I am meek and lowly in heart. And he says, if you'll do that, if you'll take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the light yoke of love. And when I assume Christ's attitude, committing everything to the Father, I will find rest. The Lord Jesus promises it. Our Father, today, we thank you for that wonderful rest that is found in Christ, and thank you in his holy and peerless name. Amen.